Hello, everybody, and welcome to our open coaching for NEPT for the month of November 2020. It's almost over.
That it is.
The year of clarity and vision. The year we were all thinking was going to be this amazing, beautiful expression of vision and clarity. Okay. Anyhow, I can't believe it's almost over. We have our Shine event coming this weekend, and I know at least two of you, I don't know if you're coming, Michelle, but it's the online version. Isabel's going to be speaking there, so she's going to be there. So we're super excited about that. So these calls are open. Where are all of our new people? Oh, there's Patty. I'm not seeing anybody.
I have a question on a Dutch test.
All right, go for it.
May I share?
You may. It should be set up to allow you to. Let me see. Yep, it is.
I need to go to screen one, share, and where did I have it? Ugh, I have so many darn nonsense. Okay, are you able to see it?
I can. All right. Awesome. So this is a, let's see, how old? 37-year-old.
Yeah, she's very young.
Whoa.
Yeah.
She's not 37. She can't be. Not with those numbers.
Is.
Okay.
Is.
Okay. Okay. Tell
and
me
so
about that.
That's why, well, first and foremost, I wanted to look at the cortisol because
Ooh. Yeah,
it's like really wonky. And I was curious, she has all of this free cortisol, obviously, but it's not being metabolized. So I wanted to know, what does that mean? And what would cause it not to be metabolized?
Yeah, so sometimes it's related to thyroid issues. Very low is that to see that it's not just so much that it's not being metabolized, it's that the free is a really tiny percentage of it, like a teeny tiny percentage. And that's high. Mm-hmm. But the metabolize is actually the total cortisol produced. So she's producing very little, but she's squirting it out like crazy.
Yeah.
Right?
She's a nurse, number one, and she's military, number two. So she has that kind of type A personality, the drive, gotta do. She just had a baby, her second baby, and it was a lot of drama and excitement in that. So I can understand all of the cortisol issues. Yeah. I was just not clear on the difference between free and the metabolized. The
metabolized is the total of all of it. It's kind of like the difference between free T4 and total T4.
Okay.
Right? And like T3, free T3, total T3. And it's just a very tiny amount. So whatever she's using, she's heading for adrenal burnout here.
Yeah.
Right? She's heading for adrenal burnout. Now, how long ago did she have this baby?
Just the beginning of this interestingness. So in February, just before the crazy.
Okay. All right. So it's when you said just, I'm thinking like she had a baby in October and we did this test.
Oh,
no, it's not quite. Yeah. Okay. So, and how long after, what was the date on this test?
This was just done about a month ago.
Okay. So she's, you know, 7, 8 months, nine months, whatever, postpartum.
The mommy thing,
is she
right?
Nursing?
Yes, she is nursing. And well, not as much because, you know, she's a nurse and all of that kind of interesting drama.
Okay. Is she pumping?
I'm not sure if she's pumping or not.
Is she menstruating?
Yes, she's menstruating.
How long did it take for her periods to come back?
I'm not sure, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
But I remember, let me scoot up here. Because she says her last menstrual period was September. So I'm not sure how long it took for her to bring back her menstrual cycle.
And this was done on day 21 of the
nine,
six. Okay, 6 and 21 is when clicked.
Like 14.
So about day 14. So it's a little early for really getting good numbers on, because they usually recommend doing it right day 20, 21. So it might be that, but mid-cycle. Yep. Progesterone would be on the lower side. If we're thinking about that being like in a premenopausal woman, progesterone, usually taking it around day 21. And that's when progesterone's, you know, it's up and then it's going to start to come down in a little bit. So I would expect estrogen to be a little higher though.
Okay. Well, her other estrogens are good. So this is just the estradiol.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see what those look like.
So let's scoot down.
And she's not on birth control pills or anything like that?
I don't believe so. I don't remember her saying that. Let me scoot down here. Okay. So yeah.
All right. So.
So her estriol is mid-range. Her esterone is, which isn't too great for that to be. But the estradiol is very low.
Okay. Yeah. So the estrone is higher than it should be. If you look at the estrogen quotient, right? We take the estrone E1 and E2 and we add them together, we get 17.3. That should be equal to or less than the estriol. So even though her estriol is looking good, it's not enough to
high relative. Yeah.
Right. It's not enough relative to that. And then of course her progesterone.
Yeah. It's,
you know, she's estrogen dominant, you know, so that's not good. So from a safety perspective, it's not good. She should be continuing to breastfeed to protect her breasts. Testosterone is decent. Yeah. It's DHEA is on the low side, which I'm not surprised at given how high the free cortisol is, because that interferes. Let's see. Scroll down. I'm trying to scroll. I can't. Okay. Let me look over here. So her 5-ALT for reductase activity is really high.
Yeah.
Zinc is super important there. GLA oftentimes is important like, there.
Black seed currant and
black currant
seed. Oil.
Yep.
Primrose. Evening primrose oil.
Evening primrose, EPO. Yeah, evening primrose, black currant, and borage is another one that are good in that. But zinc is very common to have. What are her complaining symptoms?
Well, the major symptom was that she was starting to feel this fluttering, you know, of just anxiety building up. And before that, she had preeclampsia and hypertension with the pregnancy. And so those were the pre-existing conditions.
Okay. So with preeclampsia, hypertension during pregnancy, really want to watch her magnesium levels, because that usually is an underlying cause of preeclampsia. Mm-hmm. So, and that could be, you know, a problem right now.
Her magnesium was low.
Yeah. So that's an issue. Zinc is probably low. If you look at her blood test, like her just blood chemistry, look at her alkaline phosphatase to see if that tends to be low. And sometimes people have histories of that and you're like, oh, alkaline phosphatase has been in the 40s for the last whatever number of years. Mm-hmm. Did she have any difficulty conceiving?
No.
Okay. Mm-mm. All right. Okay, scroll down a little bit.
Let's see. She had a miscarriage prior to this birth. Okay.
Low progesterone can contribute to miscarriage. So you also want to look at, you know, with miscarriage, if it's recurrent miscarriage, looking at an MTHFR SNP. Okay, scroll up a little bit. And usually that's
up or down.
So I can see down further. I want to see the metabolites. Okay, so her 4-hydroxy is low. Keep it so that I can see, go up a little bit, so that I can see just the bottom. There's a pathway. I want to see the pathway that converts from, yeah, there we go. I have to look at the other chart. Sometimes it says it here. I thought, that's CYP3A4 is from estradiol to estriol.
So is it that we have to get the estrone down or the estriol up?
Let's see, metabolite wise, she's got the 16-hydroxy is looking good. And that's not surprising because she's got the E1 and E3 are both high.
Yeah.
The 4-hydroxy is low, which is what we want. So that's looking good. So the ratios are all looking good in terms of the metabolites. I'm just thinking through pathway-wise. She had an-
the 2-methoxy, the E1 is mm-hmm. showing as low.
The methoxy?
Yes.
Where are we? Oh yeah, 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 methoxy. Well, that's what, yeah, so again, genetically, looking at MT especially, the catecholamine O-methyltransferase, I would be, without seeing her genetics and not knowing it, I would just be careful with this person, make sure she's not drinking coffee. Because she's, you know, although her 4 is low, her 4-hydroxy is low, the estrogen dominance over progesterone takes away some of that protection, the breast protection, especially, it could be uterine, but the COM-T, so she's low in the methylating, yeah, she's low in methylating. She's low in 2-hydroxy, according to this. Let's just see this. Oh, because the total, right? The 2-hydroxy is the percentage of the pi is good, but it's low because of the overall.
Overall, okay.
Being low. So it may not actually be such a... Yeah, it is. The methoxy, it's hard to tell on here because of the amounts, but when you look at the dial, it's a little lower. So mm-hmm. I would be looking and see if she has COM-T in her genetics.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, reducing the load on that pathway, because it's the same pathway that detoxifies caffeine and a bunch of other things. So I would go back to the genetics charts from our SHINE 2 years ago. The 2018 one, and yeah. We have those really cool charts, or look it up in the book, the genetic detoxification.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a whole bunch of other things that affect that pathway as well, yeah. Like aflatoxins and other things that that can interfere there, caffeine being the biggest one. So if she's on caffeine, get her off caffeine. So the biggest problem you think is the anxiety?
Information come back that is going to tell us more about her histamine pathways and methylation pathways and things of that nature and how it relates to her anxiety, you know, mm-hmm. So that mm-hmm. will give us more insight okay. into that possibility with the COM-T.
Right. And with the COM-T, and if she's taking methyl vitamins and she has a COM-T mm-hmm. issue, that could push her more into anxiety.
Yeah, exactly. So
you gotta be careful with that. GADs, if she has, you know, SNPs and GADs, mm-hmm. that can also affect blood sugar as well. And blood sugar imbalances can contribute to anxiety.
When I get the test back, it'll give me information if she's over-methylated or under-methylated. And that will give us more mm-hmm. insight into that mm-hmm. those pathways.
Yeah. Go to the next page. I want to see I want to see the cortisol-cortisone ratios, but also want to see the organic acids.
And what is the significance of the creatinine in here?
Oh, you do that to see if they had enough P. Like if their urine is super concentrated, then the results may not be off. They may be showing to be higher than you think they are or lower.
So I noticed her afternoon creatinine was low, and that's when we have
the spike in
cortisol. So could that be
it's potential. It's a potential given I don't know that it would show that much because it's not like
yeah, it's a huge spike, so
huge spike, right? I would see yeah. And usually they'll say if they think that the creatinine is playing a role. So sometimes at the bottom they'll put a footnote. Okay, keep going on to the next page. Okay, so her melatonin, she doesn't have any trouble sleeping because her melatonin is good.
She said sleep is not an issue for her.
It's not an issue. DHA is good. Okay, scroll to, let me see the ratio between so she gets that spike in cortisol, but not cortisone.
Mm-hmm.
I would check her thyroid.
Okay. I'm waiting for those results to come back also because she had first done a result and it was just like TSH. I was like, no, I need a complete thyroid. So I'm waiting.
Including antibodies. Because the thing about it is pregnancy will bring out autoimmune.
Well, she has ANA. she has that marker already.
All right. So she
does. And she has sickle cell trait.
Okay. Yeah. So likely she will come back with some thyroid autoimmune because they usually come in clusters. I'm just looking at these ratios. Okay, there we go. At least one sample had a very low creatinine. Mm-hmm. And for these individuals, samples of cortisol and cortisone value may be somewhat less reliable. Mm-hmm. But even looking at the somewhat less, you would expect to see if it was really related to the creatinine, mm-hmm. I would expect to see both of them pretty much off the chart versus just one cortisol. Because, you know, it's dilute, it's concentrated urine at that point or dilute urine at that point. Sorry. But wait, if it's dilute urine at that point, because her creatinine was low, I would expect to see the opposite of this. If it was dilute, if it was concentrated urine, I would expect to see the high numbers. So it may or may not, I mean, they may not be completely accurate, but mm-hmm. you know, she's going way up instead of coming down. She's going in the wrong direction either way.
So she starts off the morning low.
On cortisol, it's in the range, but yeah, she's on the low. And noon, she's probably about where she should be, which is midway in that range, mm-hmm. even though it was going, you know, going up higher at a steeper curve than maybe normal. But then it goes whoop, whereas it should be starting to come down after the noon value. It's mm-hmm. going way up, and it's going slightly up on the cortisone. So I would definitely suspect some thyroid stuff going on here.
So how is it thyroid as opposed to just her stress management?
Well, the cortisone, that has to do with the conversion between them.
So she's not converting, or she's over-converting rather?
Well, you know, if you look at how much cortisone she has, which is the inactive form, and how much active form she has, she is overdoing it's like licorice. If she was on, I would be asking if she was taking licorice in the middle of the afternoon or at noon, right? Mm-hmm. That would cause the cortisol to go way up like that. Yeah. Let's see her metabolites. Her B6 and B12 and glutathione metabolites especially. And her dopamine and serotonin. Okay, so methylmalonic acid's good. B6 is good. She may be low in glutathione. The neurotransmitter ones are fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. This doesn't test for GABA. So I would be a little suspicious about GABA.
Yeah, she probably has that because she has lots of thoughts, always processing stuff. So.
Yeah. You know, you can have her do the neurotransmitter test. So we have a shortened version of it, but the really detailed one is the one that The Edge Effect. Eric Braverman has a book called The Edge Effect, but if you go search it, you can actually see an online version and it'll score you.
Yeah, I have the one with Dr. Amen.
Okay.
Because I completed it.
Have you had her fill it out?
No, I have. Well, I did a version of that with her, and she was high with the GABA and she scored high with the GABA and serotonin, which shows that, those are the areas she has concern.
I like the Braverman book because he talks a lot about diet and herbs and things for each of the patterns.
What's the next book?
The Edge Effect, EDGE. I got it for like $3 on Amazon. EDGE. Really good book.
And his name is Braverman?
Braverman, Eric Braverman.
Okay, I'll look that up then.
Yeah, and I like it because he goes through the different patterns you would see for each of the neurotransmitter imbalances. And how's her, you'll see that when you get her blood test back, her blood sugar. I'd look at that.
Oh yeah, so that was the other thing. All she was giving me was blood glucose. I asked her to get the insulin And the A1C also, because I was explaining to her that what we see may be misleading, because she may be doing these high ups and low lows that makes it look even, and it's not. So
exactly. And yeah, and then, you know, of course, postprandial, but if she's got a baby and a job, she's probably going to be a little bit hesitant or less than happy. Poke my finger every 15 minutes. I can't do this. Right. Yeah. So that could be a good thing to be looking at.
With regards to the progesterone, because I think that was really low.
Yeah, I mean, there's things you can do to help her with that progesterone. If she's not nursing fully, you'd have to look at the effects of this. I mean, certainly progesterone, like a cream or sublingual, could be helpful with her. But chastity, I don't know if there's any contraindications to nursing. So you'd have to look that
one. I'm more so asking what would make it so low.
What would make it so low? Well, you want to look at what are her sources. That's why I asked you if she was on birth control pills. Was she on birth control pills before baby was born? And if she was, how long before did she stop? Mm-hmm. You can look at exposures to xenoestrogens. So does she drink out of plastic bottles? Does she have dental amalgams?
You know, well, the estrogens didn't look that high for me to say that that's what's pushing the progesterone low.
In terms of, you mean having the estrogen be, yeah, but they can't, they compete with each other. Go back to the progesterone numbers. Because we sometimes, you know, don't necessarily see, you know, there's not always ways to bring down these estrogens, but there are ways. I mean, although brassicas are really important here, but it's not like you're, like you said, it's not super high. It's just the estrone that's high-ish. This is low, and this I wouldn't mind it being higher, but I'd rather just see this go lower.
So that's why I was curious as to what's causing the progesterone to be so low.
Environmental toxins can do that.
Can lower the progesterone even though the estrogens aren't high?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what kind of toxins?
Well, if you read, he wrote a bunch of stuff on progesterone. He was one of the first people to talk about natural progesterone. And he talked about toxic exposure in utero. You know, when you are in utero, mom's toxic exposure that can lead to the progesterone levels being low.
So creating an epigenetic effect that just keeps manifesting.
Well, because your eggs, right? Your eggs were, when you were being formed, there was, you know, exposure, and that interferes with the ability of the body to make enough progesterone.
So does that mean that you would have to take supplemental progesterone, or is there something we can do to increase the pathways to create more progesterone?
Go down to the pathway picture so we can look at some of those things that are in there. So pregnenolone, B5, which converts cholesterol to pregnenolone. This test doesn't test pregnenolone directly.
And could it partially be with the high cortisol having a pregnenolone steal?
Absolutely.
With shunting down that pathway instead of going to the hormonal pathway.
Right. Okay. Right. Yeah, it's just interesting that just the estradiol, that's why I want to look at that pathway to see what does it take? What are the cofactors for converting from estrone into estradiol? Because that pathway seems to be blunted, right?
So the estrone converts directly into...
Yeah, so you see the arrow that goes two ways? They can go back and forth to each other. Okay. So I like to look at the pathway itself and see there should be a picture like towards the end.
Let's see.
No, I have one printed out on my messy desk somewhere. It's always hard to look at because it's on it.
Yes, it's gone vertical. Okay.
Oh, make it bigger. Let me see if I can find my...
I wish I knew how to convert it to make it horizontal. let's see. It's over here.
I print them out every time I get them because of that reason. And then I I forget where I put them and I print them out again.
We have estriol, esterone. And okay, there goes that. So things like grapefruit, St. John's wort, caffeine.
You look at that. So it's, we're trying to figure out from estrone to estradiol.
Yeah. So here it is, right here. Here's the estrone.
Okay, there's
the estrone. Over to estradiol. And
so it's increased by rutin.
Rutin.
Alcohol. Abdominal obesity. Oh, I didn't ask you about that. How what's her weight like?
Oh, she's fit. She's, like I said, she's military fit. So okay. She's very toned.
Abdominal obesity, bioflavonoids will increase it. So if you can look at some of that, you certainly don't want to give it abdominal obesity. Whoops, is that you? Okay. I would look at, you know, maybe some of those are those bioflavonoids could be helpful.
Down here, the grapefruit.
No, look up here. No, look where it says estrone to estradiol.
See what it says. To estradiol.
Yeah. Okay. So look at the boxes above that. There's two different boxes. One that says how to increase it. So rutin and bioflavonoid. So rutin is a bioflavonoid.
Okay.
And then is she on any of these others?
Licorice.
I can't read that.
I can't read. What's that? Phytoestrogens. So licorice will increase the estrone, whereas the bioflavonoids will increase.
Exactly. And does she do soy? Does she do any of those products like, you know, phytoestrogen, soy or clover, or some of those kind of things?
I'll have to ask her.
Yeah.
I don't think so. She looks like a meat eater.
She's a meat eater?
Yeah.
Well, does she eat organic meat?
I'll have to ask her that.
Does she do dairy?
She does a little bit of dairy still, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that would increase.
That would increase the phytoestrogen. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, what you were looking at is how does it go down, the CYP cofactors, down into 16-hydroxy-4-hydroxy, which that looks decent.
Mm-hmm.
That's the pathway I'd be looking at.
Okay.
Okay, and then let's go look up, if you can get rid of your phone dial pad.
Sorry.
There.
Yeah. I have to move this, move that. Okay.
Okay, good. So look at the pathway from if there's any enlightening things in the pregnenolone to progesterone.
Okay.
So progesterone's being pulled down this way to make active cortisol.
Okay, so to go to progesterone, we need
that's 3 beta hydroxy. Where is it made, ovaries? Let's see, hyperglycemia. So really looking at the blood sugar stuff.
Yeah, see if she's dropping. Yeah, I asked her to get a HDL also.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we have a few things to look at.
Yep. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome.
All right. Somehow I set this up so that everybody else disappeared. All right. So who's on that has questions, comments, successes? Maria, hi.
Hey. I can use some inspiration.
Okay. What's up?
Tomorrow, I gotta do a live in person to my corporate peeps. I haven't seen them since February. So they'll get back to them tomorrow. So that's good. And I don't know, I have to do something that is gonna, it's light, is not anything heavy. The manager, I asked him, is there anything in particular that you want me to address? And he's like, you know, I just, something fun that's going to lift their confidence and self-esteem. And
is this a talk or is it a demo?
A sounds, it's, you know, it's a group of, you know, less than 15 people. And, you know, it's a couple hours that I do with them. And I always do activities kind of stuff, team building stuff, you know.
So not exercise, fitness per se, but.
I do like 10, 15 minute stretch, depending on what it is. And, you know, nothing too big. And especially now I got like a little email this afternoon that they wanted to keep very light, whatever. They have their own little rules for in-person stuff, apparently. Mm-hmm. So all stretching for maybe 15 minutes. But I'm kind of thinking, you know, normally I do this the day prior because I go through videos and stuff to get inspired. Any thoughts?
So did he say anything about what are they experiencing right now? Are they stressed out? Are they worried? Are they?
No, I mean, you know, everybody's in the freaking lockdown and he's just looking for somebody to come and lift their spirits, I guess. And, you know, and not go there and shove, you know, much of health and wellness and what did you do and what not do. He doesn't want any of that, you know. He's not looking for a lesson on what to eat, not what to eat and all that kind of stuff. They don't need that.
Okay.
That stuff, you know, actually I did a presentation. The last one I did was actually on immunity of the body. So in February, just before the pandemic. So that was a good time to do it.
It's a very good time to do it. You probably didn't even realize at that time. What about doing something, you know, kind of fun ways to boost your immunity with food? Like, you know, yeah, I don't know. I don't know this group well enough to know like what you've done before or.
Well, this is a group of people. They're not a potential client by any means.
Oh.
What they want is, you know, some people in there take the healthier path. But some of them are not. You know, a lot of times I focus on, yes, education, but things that are very interactive for them to participate, even do research, you know, and write on whiteboards, discussions and things like that. Mm-hmm. Is to bring them some knowledge, awareness, but not to shovel things down and you know, and I... maybe 20% of the people will do something with the information as far as, you know, taking it semi-serious. Does that make sense? Did the management just bring this to kind of give a different perspective to keep them kind of, you know, and a lot of times I focus on stress. There are times that I focus on even business stuff from responsibility, accountability, and, you know, mix wellness with business, but that's not tomorrow. Tomorrow is more like, you know, everybody has been in this shutdown, I guess. And I don't know when they got back to the office entirely, you know, because this is the first month that he says you can come back.
Yeah. So you want to think about where they're at, like, what are they feeling, right? How are they feeling? What are they needing? If they're needing an uplifting.
They're feeling like any average American who is lost, is stressed out, probably over 8. I don't know. I haven't seen them.
Yeah.
No, but
what about if you started with questions? You just started with that because you're good at doing things on the fly, right? If you just take notes and you go, okay, what are you feeling? How did that feel like being shut down? And how does it feel like being back in the office? What are your level? And, you know, kind of come up with a set of questions.
Oh, yeah.
And then you can gear your thing on that. What do you need most right now? Right? What kind of support do you, if I could wave my magic wand and I can get you whatever support you need right now. And some of them will be funny and say, yeah, drop $1 million in my lap and I'll be happy, or drop some gorgeous woman or man in my lap and I'll be happy. But for the most part, if you really dig, they'll be in touch, you know, helping them to get in touch with what they most want.
Yeah, that's what I've been thinking. Because I've taken parts of this that goes really deep into emotions, and that they really appreciate that. You know, there were some sessions that were really transformative in a way that brought the team together because they're really opening up to each other.
What about the concept of trust, right? There's a lot of lack of trust in our world today, right? People not trusting the information they're getting, not trusting that things are going to ever go back to normal. Trust seems to be something that might be, there's some kind of cool fun activities you can do with trust too, where somebody just like, you know, you have them lean back and there's other people that are going to catch them. Although touching is probably not something you're going to be doing right now.
We're going to be doing that. We're going to be separated 6 feet apart.
Yeah.
So there is going to be no touching. I think I still put them to write stuff on a whiteboard, I guess, or maybe I need to bring mine to put in the center of because I think we're going to be on the floor instead of a conference room that everybody sits next to each other, seems like it.
You know, I was at an event once where they did something, I forget, they called it open space. Do a Google search on open space. And it basically was, they were trying to figure out who wanted to do, to learn what kind of things. And it was done where there'd be like, you know, maybe 5 groups that were formed out of it and people talked about different things. You don't have to do it that way, but you can get like 4 or 5 different or 3 or 4 or 2 or 3 different topics that people want to go deep with. And they voted on them. They, you know, they put it up and they put it on the wall. And then people went up and said, I like that one. I like that one. And then chose some things to talk about. Now, something like that might be something that would work well with them. Or maybe you go in there with a list of topics. And then you say, hey, does anybody have any others? And maybe you're thinking, what are some of these topics? The fitness, the immune system, the sphere, economic, whatever it might be, that you might have some topics that you could throw out there if they don't have them, and you can throw out there as examples. And then that's just an idea. You can get some information and you can, like, you can talk about, don't pick topics that you can't talk about, but you can pretty much wing it on anything related to health and finance and fitness.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Not being able to touch and close, it does create a little.
So there was a thing I went to over the weekend, a Mindshare mastermind, and they did this thing. And if this is a group that kind of knows each other, but maybe not as well as they could, they had us go through and do an exercise with how many people in this group?
It's probably going to be between 10 and 15, no more.
Good number. So they basically, they broke us up into separate groups. So there was less than six or less in the group, but they had each person say the line that we all started with was, if you really knew me, you'd know. And then you share some things that are, maybe you don't normally talk about with the people in your workspace. If you really knew me, you'd know that I'm really scared about my, you know, sister-in-law's health. If you really knew me, you'd know that I'm really a very shy person. I just have to fake it to get up in front of people. If you really knew me, you'd know. I mean, that's one option that I thought was really, I mean, I felt like so connected to the people in my group after that. It was really awesome. You know, I don't know if they're not touchy-feely enough for something like that, or if they would like something.
You know, I've put them to dive to some serious deep stuff before.
Think about those kind of things where you can have either a breakout of, you know, break the group in half, or do it as a whole group where they go around and share something.
Yeah.
It could be good.
Yeah. Okay.
The other thing that we did at this event was a fun thing, which people, it's like an adult version of story starters, right? Where one person starts a story and then the next person, you say one sentence and then the next person says the next part. It's kind of improv type of stuff. But this improv was geared towards getting us to be really connected. So person A starts the story. Once upon a time, there was a queen. And somebody else said, she lived on top of a mountain, you know, with 14 rabbits. And the rabbits were very rambunctious. And the story you end up getting, people are laughing. And it just, yeah, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, no, it starts with once upon a time and let the person speak for a few seconds kind of thing.
Yeah, or just one sentence.
Or you remember us doing that, Maria, on your Sunday morning fun days where we went around and I started a story and then everybody added to it. We were all ended up laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah. We kind of did that. That's right.
It was so fun. It was something about the frog. I put the frogs in the creek, or I had frogs that somebody brought home, and
right,
and what mom said and what happened to the frogs, and everybody kept adding to the story.
It's a great tadpoles, you know.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
We got to know each other better that way, just from having that community.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna, okay, I like that, the deep thing of things around, I think, because I've in the past, I've shown them and we dove into things about what brings them, the 22 emotions kind of thing, from Abraham Hanks, from the.
Oh, yeah.
We've done that exercise before. And I think that might be a good time to revisit that in some ways.
It is, because it's been a challenging year for staying up in that emotional scale. It has been for a lot of folks.
And obviously they're not going to remember, how they were, but I can instigate that. I can actually instigate, the projection, I guess, between the beginning of the year to, in a scale, I guess. I can play with that and ask them to share.
Yeah, you can also just have one, kind of icebreaker. The thing that brings me most joy is.
Yeah.
And just they get to just be in that. And then if you want to do the other part, you can do that as towards the end after they're connected, and then you can intersperse, right? So if you're not in a place where you have joyful things that you're doing, here's some things you can do. Here's how you can have fun and also be exercising at the same time, blah, blah, blah. Here's some ways you can have fun with food, that we think that we have to eat healthy to avoid getting sick, but you know what? Here's some fun ways you can do it. And you can throw out some of that, and then you can go into more of the interactive. So you're sneaking in all the health stuff in between the fun and games and, the introspection. So that's an idea.
Yeah, no, I think I can play with that, that 22 emotions. Start maybe on a series and end with the fun piece, even with, the joy, and then once upon a time, that would be a good closer to kind of be fun, but make them reflect. And I also I want to ask them about, the end of the year, how they're going to handle their holidays. And then discuss possibilities to not to be so stressed because they're going to be far away from the family, but really ways that they can kind of stay together from like I suggested my best friend yesterday, you guys can put a Zoom together or you can FaceTime and you can cook together. You can open the gifts.
We've done that. Yeah, absolutely. We've done that for birthday celebrations this year. We did it for Hanukkah. It didn't come yet. What's the other one? Passover, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Scott's family's Jewish and they celebrate Passover, and we all got to the thing and they went around with the candle lighting and all the little ritual things. And we were all on Zoom, and it actually, quite frankly, was nicer than in person because everybody was there. Usually with in person, not everybody can make it because they all have to fly to be there.
Right.
Yeah. So those are good things because people, maybe some of, we just do Zoom like it's a natural course, but a lot of people don't. I mean, although now everybody's heard of Zoom, but that you can have great celebrations and you can be opening gifts and it can be fun.
You can do WhatsApp, which is free, and you can put up to 4 people, I think, on the call. And a lot of people have whatever, the iPhone, FaceTime, whatever that freak is.
There's all kinds of ways. Give them ideas.
You can do, videos in the Messenger now. You can put multiple people. So I think there is always a way. So, okay, I think I'm gonna spend some time over here planning for tomorrow on these things.
Well, I hope you have some ideas. And sometimes it's like a matter of taking in ideas. And then all of a sudden, like for me, it's I go out for a run and suddenly I have this vision of what I can do. And
yeah, normally it works for me. I go to YouTube and, and I start getting thoughts and then I formulate the thing and ends up being pretty good.
Well, it has to be good if they invite you back. So just think about it that way.
Yeah, I've been with them for a while now. I mean, it has been years now that I've been working with them.
Yeah. Good luck with it.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Bye.
Right.
So who else? Nobody else is even on their show non-video participants. There's a bunch of you there.
Hi,
Hi Isabel.
Hi.
Hi, Elaine. Hi, Jill. Hi, Terry. Awesome. Good.
I have a couple questions.
Sure.
Okay. So I have a client that had a lot of mercury filling and she was getting them extracted. So I have her do a protocol before getting the removal and she had 19. So
19 fillings?
19. And then I think she had an extraction. There was an infection. It was a lot of work. So I told her to only do one quadrum at a time.
Perfect.
Slowly. So I think she did 8. I think she did 8.
She did 8 in one quadrant?
No, that was 2 quadrum. I think, but altogether, she did it in 2 visits.
And oh, 2 visits. Okay, got it.
First visit, after the first visit, she felt fine. Everything was okay. But after the second visit, after they took out another additional 4, she was feeling lethargic. And she was just not feeling well.
Not well.
After that.
How close together were these?
Oh, they were like a month apart.
So that's reasonable. Yeah.
Reasonable. And then she scheduled for another one that which was going to happen in about a week, but she wasn't feeling well. So I told her, don't
wait. You know, here's the thing with that. I've known people who actually came out of those extraction things paralyzed, like literally, and it's a rare thing, mm-hmm. but I know people who that happened to. It was somebody that I met through chiropractic school ages and ages ago. So you have to be really careful and you're very smart to advise that she not go back and get the next ones done until she's feeling really good.
A holistic dentist, and then they were going to do the last 8 at the same time. I was like, no, you can't do the last 8.
That's a lot. It's a lot. And are they doing, I'm assuming they're doing the rubber damming.
They are doing the damp and she has a mask and oxygen. And
Yeah. And I wonder though, if she needs some extra support. So really getting your system alkalized beforehand and doing a lot of things like chlorella, spirulina, you know, mm-hmm. green drinks and kind of like not a cleanse from the standpoint of breaking her down, but a building her up type of thing. Mm-hmm. Making sure that she's out, that she's taking her pH, her urine and her saliva pH. And doing things to get that in balance before she goes back and has more done. IV vitamin C, there are, you know, our dentist locally here, I haven't been in there in years, but they just sent a notice out that they now have somebody in there that is doing IV vitamin C in conjunction with their dental procedures.
Okay. I know I think her dentist does ozone after.
Ozone is good. Yeah.
So she does that, but IV would be good. Okay.
Yeah. And it just might have been that it's too much. You know, you can do things that are binding agents. Mm-hmm. So have her do some like modified citrus pectin or charcoal or, you know, things like that to bind that intestinal drawing formula from Health Force if they still have that. What's the other one? I always forget the name of this thing. There's this one supplement that's a drawing formula. And every single time I try to remember it, I lose the name of it.
Health Force?
Yeah, Health Force had it. They used to have it. Zeolite.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Zeolite. Those are things that can help to bind some of the metals. Make sure she's having good bowel movements, right? 2 to 3 bowel movements a day are very, very important during a process like that. And sometimes the first one is not enough stress on the body to you know, put her into that, but then another one gets done and then it puts them, you know, kind of like kids with vaccines. The first one doesn't do it. The second throws that level of toxicity. And it's a lot of toxicity that gets released from those metals in the mouth. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah, she has. I have her on milk thistle, some liver support as well, high sulfur foods, vitamin C. She was doing 3 to 6 gram per day. So IV So you recommend IV vitamin C?
Well, IV is oftentimes available through a holistic dentist, so it's possible, okay. But even higher doses in a liposomal form. So I would say with vitamin C, it should be bowel tolerance. And if her bowel tolerance before she went in and got all this disruption happening was like 3, 4, 5, 6 grams, mm-hmm. afterwards it could be 12 to 20 grams just because okay. there's so much more to do.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's a challenge. 16 dental fillings to get taken out. That's.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's a lot of toxicity in there. Mm-hmm. And what are they putting in place?
They're putting in, I didn't ask her, but I'm assuming it's.
This is important. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's important because if they take out mercury amalgams and then they put in the composites.
Okay.
Those are full of toxins as well. So that's not the best alternative. Really the best is like a ceramic or something like that.
Okay.
So ask. And sometimes, you know, she may have a problem. Some holistic dentists actually test to see the compatibility. They'll take a blood test and they look at okay. the compatibility for the various uh-huh. materials that they have options for.
Okay, so you can actually do a test. Mm-hmm. Is that a blood test?
There's a blood test, yes. Some of them do muscle testing. Okay. There's definitely is a blood test that they can do. Yeah.
Okay, so I'll ask her that.
Yeah, because that could be why she, you know, she was fine after the first one and then after the second one.
Yeah, after the second
one. Too much of a load. Yeah, exchanging one poison for another. Although the mercury is clearly worse. But it's, yeah.
Okay, so I'll ask her about that. Okay, good.
Cool, great, thank you.
So regarding weight loss, like someone who's doing weight loss and eating a lower calorie diet. So one thing that's kind of, we want to address is not to suppress the metabolism.
Right.
Right. So different ways to boost metabolism, like cycle through calorie. That's kind of things I know. Calorie cycling to variation of calorie or intermittent fasting.
Yeah, but not intermittent fasting every day, but intermittent fasting cycled with fast days, feast days. But also exercise, you know.
Exercise
to increase the metabolism.
Okay, yeah, and exercise.
And thermogenic foods. So look up thermogenic foods, but things like vegetables tend to be thermogenic. Various things that support thyroid health can be helpful. You could do iodine, but you got to be careful with that. But look up thermogenic foods. There are certain foods that just have that ability, like some of the hot, spicy type things, which rev up the metabolism a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my daughter is trying to lose weight and she does great. She exercises like twice a day, like almost 2 hours a day. She lost about 20 pounds already. Mm-hmm. And then she's about 140 now. She's about 140. She's doing about 1200 calories to 1400 calories. And for her, she's young. So I think it's on the lower side of calorie consumption. So she's very worried about like her metabolism was slow her metabolism. And then once she does love food. So once she's done with the weight loss, and it seems like it takes her a lot to lose weight. She has to be very vigilant. She has to count her calorie and make sure she doesn't overeat and exercise a whole lot. And it just seems very difficult for her to lose the pounds, although she's eating very healthy.
Yeah. Have you checked her thyroid?
No, we're going to. So she does have, from her previous test, she does have the T3, free T3 production. It's a little bit on the lower side.
Mm-hmm. And you've checked her for antibodies?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that was years ago, but
and mitochondrial, you know, if you look at her genes, because I know you got them recently, run them through the genetic detoxification and look at the mitochondrial area, the mitochondrial genes, and then look at like perhaps an oat test if you haven't done one of those on her.
But I did an oat test on her.
How were her mitochondrial markers?
I think it looked fine. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it, her oat test looked fine on the mitochondrial.
And then her blood sugar, of course, you know how to
her
do
blood.
That.
She does have more insulin. She did a fasting insulin maybe a year ago. It was, I think it was 9. So it was her insulin.
Yeah.
On
yeah.
the higher side.
So is she addressing that?
She's not eating. She's now she's added a little bit more high carb food. She was on keto, which I think it worked out really good. And she lost a bunch of weight, but she got the keto rash. So that was very uncomfortable for her.
She got, was she not doing enough veggies?
She is. She's doing a lot of
keto
vegetables on keto. And yeah, she got the keto rash. And then she's like, I'm not doing keto. That's just not.
Well, I would get her to start testing her blood sugar.
Okay.
And just so you said she's added some high sugar, high carb foods.
Higher. Well, she's starting to eat a little bit of sweet potato, not the not like white bread or anything like that, but like sweet potato, a little bit higher starch.
Yeah, just have her check, you know, and make sure that she's not getting spikes that are causing her to have too much insulin. Because at 9, that's high, right?
Yeah. So
especially for somebody so young.
Yeah. So we'll look at that. And it's, I guess with my daughter, it's more sensitive, right? You tell her something, just like, you know.
I know how that goes. I have kids.
Yeah, but she's doing great on her own. And sometimes I can't say too much. She has to figure it out on her own.
I know, it's hard. It's hard watching your kids. My son blew up. He started eating too much and he started eating all. And he got heavy. Maria, I remember seeing him and going, what happened to him? He looks like he gained weight. And he just kind of on his, I kept, you know, you hint at it. And on his own, he realized that this wasn't attractive and it was unhealthy. And he's exercising and he's watching. He's still not perfect, but he's slimmed right back down again. So, but he had to find it on his own. Hey, I can help you. And his older brother, same thing. And we're like, what the heck is happening to him? What is he doing? And it was senior year of college and all this. And you can't talk to him, right? You can't say, hey, you're fat. You know, you want to go on a diet? You know, you can't say that to your kid. Or, hey, what's happening around there? You used to have a nice flat belly and you don't. And you can't say that to your kid, right? Challenging.
Yeah.
But they both slimmed down. They both are like avid exercisers now and they're eating really well. So.
Mm-hmm. So basically. Good. Okay, good. I'll look up the thermogenic foods. I think that's a good one, and the thyroid.
And that's easy to give kids. Like it's something they can do rather than stop doing.
Yeah.
You know, I just found this really cool list of foods. See if these help you to, you know, burn whatever, however you say it in a way that they're not going to take as an insult. You know, you got to be careful.
Help you boost your metabolism. So that's what she's worried about. So that's
use the right words, right? Her words. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So I looked at her mitochondrial markers. They're all on the low side.
Ah, okay. So, you know, look at her B vitamin status, niacin, riboflavin, amino acids, you know, stomach acid, being able to absorb the proteins properly. B6, I think, plays in there. Go back to module 2, which we have the charts and it shows you. So you take the way I look at the oat test, organic acid test, is to take a look at the mitochondria markers in there and then map them out to a chart that has like, B6 is important here and copper is important here and whatnot. And then you'll be able to see which ones you might want to help her to supplement with.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you.
Awesome. I hear a voice, but I can't tell who it is.
Can you hear me, Maria?
I can't. Oh, Maria, yeah.
Okay, so I have a couple of thoughts for your daughter. If she's not going to listen to you, she might listen to data. And, you know, for less than $300, you can get her DEXA scan of her body composition and her resting metabolic rate measured. She would know what is the minimum that she would need to consuming calories to eat and lose weight, how much, you know, her exercise per day, because 2 hours a day and eating 1,200 calories, I think she's definitely overdoing. There is a difference, you know, between losing weight from fat and losing weight actually from muscle. Also, she would have to learn how to actually introduce carbs into her diet and when it is, so she doesn't lose muscle versus just losing weight. So especially as she is growing. So, you know, she would learn, you know, how much she's got from fat, from muscle, from her weight, obviously. She would know her bone mass, which she's not to worry probably. But then with her resting metabolic rate, she would know, like mine is very low. It's extremely low. And I always knew that because I can gain weight very easily. And my genetics also say from mom and dad, you know, thyroid eating. You know, if I don't want to lose weight, I can only, you know, if I want to lose weight, I have to eat 1,100 calories a day. That is, I can eat that just eating nuts, okay? And so, and then if I exercise, then my metabolic rate based on my body, 30 minutes of high intensity is only about 150 calories, right? And then if I don't want to lose mass, you know, then I have to kind of add, you know, food after, you know, otherwise you're going to be depleting the body. So you don't, your daughter doesn't want to do that. She's young.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what's the test called again?
You can do a DEXA scan with a body.
Oh, the DEX. Okay.
Yeah, no, but it's not every DEXA scan. DEXA scan is only going to do the bone density. So look for a service that has DEXA scan and body composition. And then the resting metabolic rate. A lot of companies will have both, right? A company like a wellness center focus on athletes and things like that, they're going to do that. They're going to have a machine, a DEXA scan with a body composition. And they're also going to have the resting metabolic rate. So that empowers her to exactly do what she needs. She will know that how many calories in the composition, okay, less fat, you know, more protein, more carbs, right? And then when, you know, sometimes the people on the other side will give consultations. If you're not, you know, you can help or I can help, whatever, you know, on how to, when to put the foods in there, because that's important, especially with the amount of exercise. If she's just eating on a fasting state, and then not putting anything after, she's demolishing her body and her metabolism is gonna sink down to the tubes. It's gonna go down to the tubes. So there is a chance that if the metabolism is low like mine, that I can increase a little bit up by actually adding certain foods, you know, within 2 hours of window after I exercise. So I gotta be careful what I add, you know, not to impact much of my growth hormones and not take disadvantage of that. But you know what I'm saying? She might not trust you, but a test like that's not going to cost more than both of them, more than $300 together, and is incredibly valuable information. And she can follow up, you know, she can do it. I just bought a package that I'm going to continue to do mine. You know, I got like a discounted like for $60 on the DEXA. So I would know with the changes that I made to my diet, as far as adding carbs back a little bit, you know, not being fasted like I used to be, because like you probably tank your metabolism even more if it was slower before. And I kind of, after I did more research, it's probably right. He's right. So I'm like, I got to change this stuff, you know? So anyway, just a few thoughts, you know, because there's a lot more biochemistry involved on it instead of just eating healthy foods and exercising a ton. It's not going to be a healthy way to do that, you know. She will lose a lot of weight, right? Like she has done it. But at what expense? That's the question. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yep.
So, Maria, I want to thank you for your comments because we kind of have the opposite thing going on at our house. Not me, but my husband. And he's losing. He's at the point where I feel like he's lost too much. He thinks he's lost too much.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're like, okay, now what? After 6 months of being on this healthy diet, you know, now what? Because he keeps losing. And his PSA test went up. And so he's heading towards surgery. Wow. We don't have a date yet, but at this point, he's wanting to start eating more protein. And then what do you do though? Because I mean, you know, if the blood sugar is just a little high, which it is, not too high, but it is you have to be careful. But if you've cut out grains and you've cut out meat, what do you do to not lose weight?
Here's what a couple of people have done that we've guided them to is you look at how many calories right now is he continuing to lose weight and what's the rate of that? And then if he is maintaining, what is that? And what is the intake right now? And the macro ratios plus the total calories. And then you look at, okay, where do we add? How do we add an extra 300 calories a day or whatever is needed, right? If he's continuing to lose, maybe it's 600 calories a day. And that may be in a shake. That may be in a protein shake to get his protein. And then you add some coconut oil, MCT oil, things that we normally don't recommend, right? But that aren't terrible, right? And we just add those things to it, you know, with the greens and the green powders and other things, but you can easily create a shake that would give him an extra 300 to 600 calories a day and help him to put that back on. And we've done that. You know, there was a guy in ERC a couple of years ago who that was his issue. He had this horrible reaction to statin drugs and was eating away at his muscle. It was an autoimmune muscle deterioration. And he was losing weight and he went away from being an athlete, like, you know, weak and all. So he was able to figure out 300 calories a day was what he needed. And he managed to put the weight back on.
So yeah. I will also add to that the exercise for him and so is for, I don't have to mention that for Isabel's daughter, she's exercising, right? So your husband over here, the weight loss, right, is going to be on what? I mean, he can stop losing weight if he start exercising a little bit more, you know, on the aspect of what, if he exercises.
He could be doing weight work.
Or he can
He's not doing weight work. He's bouncing a lot on the trampoline and walking and stuff, but not weight.
Yeah,
weight train.
That's what he needs.
That's what he needs is the weights. He needs to slow down on the aerobics and increase on the weight work.
That's
correct. You know, and even just his own body weight, right? It could be just pull-ups in the door frame. It could be the push-ups and
squats.
Whatever, squats.
Lunges. I mean, there is tons of stuff. I mean, you know, from different kinds of push-ups, different kinds of planks, different kinds of squats, different kinds of overheads, walking the house. There is like tons of stuff. And if he needs help, you know, we can set a session and just guide him. Okay, weight training that he can do at the house with whatever you have.
I'll be glad. Whatever you have around. You don't have to go out and like furnish a whole gym.
No, you don't. But it's important that he gets the weight training. Okay, and lowers the cardiovascular over here to kind of rebuild that. He can add the burst, right? He can add burst and do the just to keep the metabolism a little up as he exercises, the heart rate up a little bit, right? But not to be like devastated and tired and all that kind of stuff. But he needs to add pressure and also remember that with all that his body's going through and the stress internally is probably damaging his bones already. Right, and his age, right, and he, how old is he?
66.
Okay, so you know, the men are just 10 years behind women as far as bone loss, right? So he might benefit from doing the same DEXA scan with composition that I'm telling you.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Either that do that one at least, and maybe the heart rate metabolism, the RMI might not be needed if finances are a constraint, but you can get the other one for probably $150, you know, the DEXAs and the composition together. Yeah. I think that would be a kind of a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Okay. And my whole thing for me is like, how can I eat more? But then, you know, right? how can I eat more? But then, okay, the, mingling the exercise and the timing and when I'm going to do the more carbs and or the carbs that I have when I do within my day.
Right.
So I can shift, you know, my composition a little bit, right?
Yeah. And then the blood sugar needs to be a consideration.
You wouldn't go back on to like non-gluten grains and meat, would you? You know, would you rather have it be like pea protein in the powders? Is that better?
I know that Marie's going to say something different, but I trust, you know, a small amount of grass-fed meats because that's going to be very bioavailable and amino acids. But you can, you know, again, you don't have to do that every day, but a small amount.
Right, small amount, not like loading up on ribeye from the local restaurant.
About 5 ounces, right? 5 ounces. And then if he gets like I've started to do, you know, essential amino acids, which is a layer, you know, better than brain chain amino acids. So that is going to put the fuel right back into, you know, it's all digested. So he can do that before the exercise and he can do that after the exercise. And so that fuel, again, if he's working out hard, you know, if he's not, doesn't need to spend money on that stuff, right? But if you start getting that kind of routine of exercising and losing, you can put that back in and then gives him time to eat later. Let's say, you know, when I do that, if I take that drink, you know, immediately after I work out, I am eating about an hour and a half, you know, afterwards, and something with carbs to replenish some of that, you know, that I burn it. But depending on my workout, I don't do it all. I mean, I'm just going to roll over here for 5K, I mean, I'm not doing much. I'm like, you know, I can do that. So you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to load on stuff unless the body's needed. But I think the a small amount of grass-fed meats is very good for, it's healthy, you know? And then the rest can be collagen. Collagen is another thing that I've been doing basically on a daily basis now. You know, it's good for bone, good for skin, good, right? So I'm adding collagen to smoothies. I'm adding collagen to soups. So all to get protein, high quality, again, collagen from grass-fed beef, right? And all that kind of stuff. So
you can do the collagen peptides.
Yes.
Plant-based as well, because really collagen gets broken down into its constituents and then brought back together. So if you have the collagen-based or the collagen peptide plant formulas as well, then you don't worry about getting in too much, you know, the undesirable stuff that builds up. Because collagen, you know, if it's from bone broth, you run the risk of lead. You run the risk of lead contamination, right?
Yes. So, I have both. I have the peptides and I kind of mixed a little bit. Sometimes I just do the peptides. Sometimes I do the bone broth.
Yeah.
On the bone. But yeah. So, you know, expand on those things. Those are easy, right? Easy ways that you can add protein, you know, in a healthy way, because it is important.
And he does need the calories and he does need to stop burning them. You have I don't know if you have that available or you just did it the one time, but you had some bone building, specific bone building exercise. I don't know if it was just for women or if it was expanded. And then Karen Osborne, check in with Karen. She does yoga for bone building. So it's not going to burn a lot of calories, but it's going to strengthen, like you hold the poses in for certain, like 30 seconds or 27 seconds or whatever it was. And she has a class that she does. She, you know, she starts them on a regular basis. She does them on Zoom. So
yeah, you
that
know,
could be another option.
You have the recordings of our classes. Our class doesn't matter. It was for women just because women don't exercise as much as men. You know, go back to those recordings. You know, and again, if you find that too cumbersome to go back and, you know, and all that kind of stuff, set up a session. After maybe he can look at two or three of those and his, you know, I don't know, the guy's sitting down doing nothing over there, and just look and start making notes of the exercises, have some ideas, and then maybe we can have a session, put a, you know, something like of a
specific program for him. Yeah.
So that's a thought.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Both of
you. All right, who else has questions or comments? I'm seeing some stuff coming through the chat. Let's see. Glyphosate can affect progesterone. Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the toxins that can definitely affect progesterone production. And so we're all exposed. Even people, somebody who got their, they got a heavy metal thing and they had high levels of, not heavy metal, the toxin screen from Great Plains. And I'm like, where's this coming from? I'm eating organic. I've been eating organic for a long time, but it builds up. It just builds up and it doesn't get eliminated from the system. Patty, I still have 4 more mercury amalgams to go, but there's no holistic dentist here. I have the new material in my mouth, suggestions of what I should do to support my system. Oh boy. So I would find a holistic dentist to take them out because it's too much of a risk. If they're not using the rubber damming and giving you oxygen during, you run the risk of that mercury getting into your brain. I mean, it's really not worth the risk. So I would definitely look for somebody who does that. And if you look up, well, Premier Research Lab used to have a really nice dental prep program. Like they were just, it used to be on their site. I don't know if it still is, but how do you get prepared? What are the nutrients? Get yourself alkaline, vitamin C, some of the bioflavonoids, anti-inflammatory type stuff, the gingers and the turmerics and things like that to prepare yourself for that. Liver support, you know, eating more dandelions and burdock root and things like that. So that's the kind of stuff to get prepared and, you know, the cleanest diet you can, and check your pH, saliva and urine. And if that's going in the wrong direction, going down, then you need to support that and do all the things we know to do for supporting alkaline. Yeah. Martha said, check out Primal Dental. There's a Facebook interview. Oh, Primal. Yeah. Yeah. But that's not going to help. Well, there's dental products, right? But if you've got mercury in your mouth and you're going to get rid of them, using the dental products isn't going to get rid of the mercury, but it will help support healthy gum tissue and support the microbiome in the mouth and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And we have interviews with, we have several dental interviews for those of you who want. If you go and log into the Unstoppable site and click on the Body Freedom Nutrition Lab, there's down towards the bottom is eating for thyroid health, eating for this health, eating for that. One of them is eating for dental health. And we had Living Libations, what's her name? Nadine Artemis. I had an interview with her. And then there was Steph Jackson did an interview. And they both had really good ideas for really maintaining good microbiome. The LED light therapy helps if one, I don't know that the LED light therapy is supposed to be good for really supporting the gums, like supporting the health of the gums and the repair of the gums. I don't know how it interacts with mercury or how, if it has an effect, it's not going to dissipate that. But, you know, as you're preparing to get that done, I would say doing some things like, or right after for sure, I would say doing things like modified citrus pectin or the zeolite or things like that could be very helpful. Okay. See you at Shine on Saturday. Patty looks like she left. Okay. Oh, good. Isabel, you found it for $235. Cool. Cool. Good stuff. Good stuff. Thank you for sharing that, Maria. Anybody else have questions, comments? I have about 15, 20 minutes left. No?
I have another question, someone else has a question. So thank you for the invitation to speak at Shine. That's great. So I put up an opt-in page for a freebie. And you mentioned like during the message today that the freebie should lead to like a program. So
that's the general rule of thumb, right? Anytime you have a freebie, you know, you collect names while at the beginning, but ideally if you have a program, your freebie should then like on a thank you page or something or in an email sequence lead somebody to know about your program and invite them to join.
So if I put the program in the freebie, like after I explain, give all the information, and at the end, it says like, you know, if you want further assistance or support, that you can join.
You can do that within the freebie, but I'd also do it in the marketing around the freebie. And you'll have, because you're a speaker, you'll have a page on the site. Speakers and sponsors get a page that you can put on, you link to your freebie. So, and you can put it, what I'm recommending is that you put it on the last slide of your presentation. Hey, for further information, and here you can download my free XYZ. And then it'll be on your page or visit my sponsor page. And so on that page, you can put any other, you know, your Facebook page link, and you can put all your information on that page. But what I'm, what I was meaning was that if I offer you a free book, and I'm really bad at this, I have a lot of freebies that don't lead to a product. It just gets them on my list, and, you know, eventually they get offered products. But it's really a good idea if you have something for free that you have at least a low priced product on the back end of that. And so some people do, and I've done this. I have several of them that are set up like this, where we offer a $7 product. Hey, thank you for downloading this Elixirs in book. What we have in addition, right while you're here, we can give you, for $7 today, we can give you this whole other book that also has tea recipes and some descriptions of herbs and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's only $7 today. And then a percentage of people buy it, right? So that's the kind of thing that you can do. Or if it's like you have a 90, I think you said you have a $97.
Yeah, $99.
Yeah, so you can do that on the next page after they've downloaded it. Hey, you've just gotten this first steps, but what people really need is like to spend a week together and get the motivation and the support and the guidance of a group. Plus, you know, and you're going to get this and this and this. And for today only, because you just downloaded my freebie, it's only $97. Or you can give it to them for $87 or $77 or whatever you want to do on that page, because they just downloaded it. So they feel like they got a deal. If they go to your site, they go, oh yeah, I really did save some money when I did that. So it's like, what is it that, what do they need next? So when you're creating something free that you're going to give somebody, it's like, okay, they have this. What do they need next? Because here's the deal. If you give them something free and they go, oh, I really need a detox program now that I have this, these recipes, I really need a detox program. I wonder where I can find it. And guess what they do? Google. Detox program. And if you don't spend a lot of money on ads, you ain't going to be at the top of that list, and they're going to find somebody else, right? So you give them the opportunity right while they're there, right while they trust you, to say, hey, you know, most people find that this is a really helpful book and I want you to go through these. But when you're finished with that, one of the things that you're going to want to do is really do a deep cleanse of your system. I'm just making this up because I don't really know the content of your class, but here's how you can do that. And for today, it's just this much money. And you're going to get some percentage of that.
Okay, that sounds good.
The other thing we're finding, and this is a little bit more advanced technique, but we're finding that if we offer something, they buy something, say it's $97, $297, $397, and you kind of do this with your cleanse because you offer them the kit, right? But you basically say, right on the page where they're about to give you their credit card for the $297, oh, for just an additional $19.95, you can add on this. We created this book that was just pieces of NEPT. I pulled together, but it's like a 12-page, 10-page, whatever book that's called your body physical exam, right? It was taken from the physical exam things, but pieces of it. And we're selling it for $20. We've sold over the course of this year, probably 200 or 300 of those. So $20 isn't a lot of money, but two or 300 times $20 is decent amount. So people are right there. It's kind of like at Walmart, you're about to check out and you can't resist the gum or the flavored toothpicks or something that are sitting right there. So you're just giving them the opportunity to get this extra thing. And we've found that to be super helpful. And you can take something out of one of your other programs, which is what we did, took something out of one of our other programs, bundled it, put a pretty cover on it, and we're done. And I know you know how to do that because you have some really nice looking documents in your stuff. So those are just little things that you can do just to increase the bottom line. And then the second thing that we've done is we always have an upsell. I never used to do this stuff before, but after they bought one thing, so for Shine, it's an obvious upsell. You just bought a ticket to Shine. Now here's what you can get if you pay an extra, you know, whatever dollars for the VIP version. You're going to get this, this, and this. For Sweet Spot, we had, you know, pay an extra whatever, $97 and get a consultation. We started doing this and we're selling a lot of these now, is for an extra $297, you can get a blood chemistry analysis report plus a consultation. It's normally $450 and today it's $297. And, you know, we don't sell as many of those obviously as we sell of the $20 things. But when you're thinking about your process, is what do these people need next? what would they like to go along with it? What makes sense to give them to go along with it? And what would be the next step? Because you have several programs, and some of them, like mine, are sitting on the website not doing anything until you do get out there and launch. And I know how much you love launching, which you don't, right? So if you can passively sell, launch one thing and then sell upgrades into something else, why not?
Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah. Okay.
I was talking to Ocean Robbins the other day. He interviewed me for something, his whole life club. And I was asking him, how's that going? He just started it's a membership thing like a year and a half, 2 years ago. And he said what he started to do, he hasn't done launches for it per se, but what he does is anytime he sells anything else, he makes an offer for 2-3 months in his club. And I'm throwing this out at you because you were talking about that. He offers them 2-3 months in his club, but they have to actually, they have to say yes, and they agree that after the 2 months, either they quit or they get to continue to pay. And he gets 1,000 people a month. You know, not all of them are going to stay, right? But even if a third of them stay, it's a really great thing. But what we used to do, which I think what he does is better, we used to, oh, you bought the sweet spot. Here, you got this free access to Vital for 2 months. It was like kind of buried in there. What he does, it's right out in the, it's like, oh, now that you bought this, if you want, we'll give you this. And all you have to do is press here. Right. And you can do it for a dollar to make it easier to go through on the credit card. You know, for just a dollar, we're going to give you 3 months in our membership or 2 months, whatever you think it is. Yeah. So there's all kinds of ways that you can get your information out there. So going back to the lead gen, you know, whatever your freebie is that you offer on your page, and we're going to be sending out an email tomorrow so everybody gets access to their page, whether you're a participant or a speaker. And then you can go in and, you know, we can, as a participant, you can edit your profile, and that will what shows up as a speaker, same thing, but you have a little bit more, you have more options. Let's just say you can't put a link to your freebie on your profile page if you're just a participant, but if you're a speaker or sponsor, you can get that. So anyway,
that's very helpful.
Kind of cool. Yeah. Yeah. We're real excited when you see this app. It's so cool. I'm so excited about it. Very cool. Yeah. It's going to have the schedule in there and you can meet with people and it'll even say to you, I could share as my screen and show you what it looks like if it's still up, but you can show, you can say, it'll come back and say, oh, based on what you filled out in your profile, Maria would be a really good contact for you. And then it gives you links and then you can reach out and you can connect with people. So say you meet some people during a breakout, which we're going to do a fair number of breakout. And you're like, oh, I really want to follow up with that person. You can look it up and say, hey, I'd love to follow up with you. And you can stay in touch and all the information's there. Okay. So it was, let me find it. See if it's still open. This one? Yeah. Okay. So let me go to the beginning. All right, so this is what you're going to get into. This is our app for Shine. You'll hit here for your schedule. I don't know if it's finished yet. No, it's not. Oh, Monday. Oh, somebody put in that's my team testing. Okay, there we go. So there's the Saturday. There's your spot, right? You're on there. You're on this guest expert panel. And then when we go back to home, let me see. You can get to any of the things you want to. So if I go back to home and I go to speakers, you'll see the list of speakers. We're loading up everybody's stuff and then you can add to it. So where are you? And they just went to your websites. And so the more you add on your website, the better your page is already. And right here, you're able to, when you edit your page, you're able to put a link here to a freebie, right? So, and that's when you're going to be speaking. And oh, wait, look, it's a link right there.
So that's a link to the
web. Link to your main. What is this? Discover the.
Yeah, that's just the main.
That's just your main, but you have a pop-up, which is perfect. But it's better if you have a little note that says, "Download my free blah blah blah," and send them to something that they're going to get free. Because you know people don't click on other people's websites unless there's a reason.
Yeah. Like, so really okay. I could do that myself. Yeah.
Once you get it, yeah. Once we open it up, yeah, tomorrow, and you get your password set up, then there, they pulled that from your site too, so you can always edit that too. Oh wait, look, it has your free ebook right there, but that's not clickable. It was just in your bio, so you can take that out and put that here, and maybe just put this as the inactive link, which is your website, but put the real active link there.
Okay.
Okay. So this is what we're doing, and you're going to have your attendees, you're going to have sponsors, speakers, chat rooms. So there's different topics. And we can, if you want to talk to some of you, like, oh, book writing, I wonder if there's somebody who's written a book, I'm thinking about writing a book, you can just put a note in here. Hey, is anybody know, anybody have any information? Want to share book writing suggestions? And you can just have, like, you know, like any kind of discussion board type of thing. And that'll show up. And then if somebody else sees that, they'll go, oh, hey, I'm interested in that. And if there's other topics you think might be fun, like somebody was like, well, who's your best, you know, what's your favorite? I may throw a starter in each of these. So people go in there and go, oh, I'll answer that, you know, because people are more likely to do that. Anyway, who's your favorite supplement companies? Whatever, you're welcome to go in there. And then I missed, oh, my event is just, you can go through the schedule and then just, we will take that off tomorrow. But you can just go in there and you're going to say, oh, I want a reminder for all of these. So you don't need a reminder for break, but you know, you can just put these. And it's going to tell you what you're going to be going to. And then you can go to my schedule, my event. And now, oh, why did that not take? Did I not save it? I may not have saved it. Huh. Well, anyway, we're still working on it. We have a meeting tomorrow to get it all worked out before we send it out tomorrow afternoon.
But Dr. Rita Marie, that is brilliant. That is really amazing. Congratulations. That's really pretty. You know, I think that's the best I've seen in a long time.
It's amazing.
It's beautiful. Really, congratulations. It's something
you've worked
extremely hard on, and it's, you know, cutting edge.
Thank you. Yay. Thank you very much. So there you have it. Handouts will be there too. I don't know if she's done that yet. I think she just started to put, you know, like a template page up, but all the handouts for the event will be here. Oh yeah. These are the ones.
Real change from the last time. Yeah.
Well, you learn more and there's more tools available.
Astronomical. It's astronomically different. I mean, it's just really state of the art. Very good. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we didn't design that app. We you know, pay to use the app. Somebody else designed it, but the tools that are now available because more and more people are doing online events. I don't know if I'm going to want to go back to an in-person event, but because it's like, it's easy. It's much less expensive. I mean, by now we would have spent $60,000 with all the fees that we would have had to be paying to the hotel and the video person and all that. And now it's minimal. We're flying one person in from our team who's our tech person, and he's going to help us run the camera, because usually it's just Scott sitting there running the camera. And the last event I went, I need somebody to help me run the camera. Like, he'll be sitting there listening to a ball game. And I'm like, oh, and you might want to see this up close. And yeah, somebody might want to, well, maybe I'll just hold it up to the screen. Like, seriously, like, what are you listening to? So I said, you know, we need it. He's stepping up to the plate. So it's going to be really good. It's going to be really good. Yeah, I'm excited about it. And the speakers are out of this world.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you.
Content and the handout books I created this 5-part framework for reversing autoimmune disease. And I'm going to really carry that into some of the other modules and say, oh, we have a 5-part, 7-part, whatever part framework it is for this. But then I decided as a handout thing, like, oh, let's create a handout that's a workbook for the first step, which is SWAP. And let's create a workbook for the second step. So there's a workbook for each section instead of it just saying day one, day two, day three handouts where you're going.
Great.
So I'm super excited.
Yeah. And I heard Isabel Yang was speaking.
Did you know? Are you so excited about that?
I'm
excited, a little bit nervous, but yeah.
And you know, well, the hardest part is you do only have 10 to 15 minutes, right? So each one, and that's actually harder, but I think it's a really good opportunity because that's what, you know, TED Talks are a little longer than that, but sometimes that's all you get, right? Hey, come on and talk about this. And you have to be able to get really succinct and get a message out there that people go, whoa, I want to hear more.
Yeah, you do. We have to be very focused. So
very focused. Yeah. And still be effective and interesting. So it'll be curious to see because there's what, 6, 8 of you that are doing little short ones?
Yeah.
Yeah. The hardest one's going to be Laura Fine. She's also got the 10 to 15 minutes and we've had to throw her off after she overshot her half hour. And, you know, it's like I'm standing there going, and I'm saying, Scott, we can't, we're going to get behind. And he's going, you can't like just cut her off. And somebody else told me, you just, if you're on Zoom and somebody doesn't take your signals and you're texting them and you're telling them and you already told them, you just gently click the drop button. Oh, their mic stopped. Oh, it looks like they're having some tech issues. Okay, let's move on. So that happened last year at the live event. We had somebody Zoom in and it was Trina who was talking about the dental stuff and she's amazing. And she had this great presentation, but I had allotted like a half an hour, I think I gave her. And we told her that in advance and it's getting close. And they're like, we got to go, keep going. We got to keep going. We're running late. And they're trying to text her and say, sorry, sorry. And, you know, finally somebody else told me, no, you just have to, oh, I'm so sorry. Her internet crapped out. Okay, we'll move on.
Because well, that's a good reason for a Zoom conference.
That's a really good reason.
Yeah, the other thing with on the stage, you let the stage fall, drop out. That's the only thing.
You know, it's like I want to go up there with a hook.
Yes.
And I've done the thing where we hold up signs from the back of the room. It says you have 10 more minutes, 5 more minutes, 1 more minute, done. And it says big letters stop. And they just keep going. And at 10 minutes past the end of their talk, you know, it's not fun. So I started going up there and I start to climb up the steps. And, you know, I've gotten to the point where that I had to just actually climb up on the stage and say, thank you. I wish we had time for more, but we don't. See ya. All the trials and tribulations of putting on an event, but it's worth it. And it's fun. And it's so, you know, there's just so much great information. And even if you've heard people speak before, you always hear something new from them every time. And I can't wait to hear Terry Walls is great. She's just loaded with great information. And we have Ocean Robbins on Sunday and JJ Virgin's going to talk marketing and
it's great, great lineup.
We have a great lineup.
Thank you.
We have a great lineup. Yeah. I'm really excited by it. So I appreciate you guys. I hope all of you are going to be there. You all have a free ticket, so no excuses.
It looks like a magical weekend. Really does. I'm very excited about it.
To be great. I'm glad. All right, guys. Thank you. And if you have any friends or colleagues you still want to get to come, just send them to shineliveconference.com. We'll be closing it down on Thursday. Like, so Thursday will be the last day that they can sign up.
So what time are we starting Friday?
9 a.m. Central.
9 a.m. Central. That's 10 a.m. my time, I think.
That's nice. But for the East West Coast people, that's 7 a.m. I don't envy you. But a lot of you are
sometimes
early.
Sometimes it's really, I'm so grateful to live on the East Coast. There's times when it really pays off.
Yeah.
I'm 7 a.m. So.
Yeah. Fortunately, you're not speaking until what, 4?
Yeah, I usually go exercise in the morning, but I don't want to miss it, so I'm going to have to come a little bit earlier.
We do have hour and a half breaks, but you know what? And we'll reach out to you if we think that we're going to count them up. What we're thinking about doing on Friday and maybe Saturday too is to have like, here's the lunchroom you can go and have like theme-based lunchrooms. So if you want to talk about exercise, if you want to talk about marketing, if you want to talk about, you know, whatever, stress management, and to just have different ones and just have one person from any PT in each of the rooms to kind of guide them, you know, guide the conversation, right? So I know it's last minute, but we did this at another event I was in a couple of weeks ago, and it was really great because I got to meet, and I led a couple of those sessions, two different sessions, one on blood sugar and one on, I don't know what else, but I got to really meet the people and it was really, really nice. It was just really fun and people really engaged in the smaller group and got to know each other. So it's great. All right, guys, have a great rest of the evening. We'll see you Friday, not even Saturday, Friday.
Good see you then. Bye y'all.
Bye, thank you.
You. As you prepare, Dr. Rita Marie.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.